Barnes.
President Trump signed a proclamation today revamping the policy on people seeking asylum in the United States. Moving forward, you'll have to go to a port of entry to make your claim for asylum. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talked about working with the president on immigration.
We're certainly going to try to help the president achieve what he'd like to do with regard to the wall and border security. And that'll obviously have to be done on some kind of bipartisan, some kind of bipartisan discussion.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump are in Paris for the weekend. One of the things they will be doing is taking part in a program celebrating the centennial anniversary of the cessation of hostilities in World War I. Before leaving the White House, the president addressed reports that the video of CNN's Jim Acosta touching a White House intern were doctored.
The taped video of Acosta? What are you talking about? All that was... Nobody manipulated it. Give me a break. See, that's just dishonest reporting. All that is a close-up. See, that is just dishonest reporting. I watched that. I heard that last night. They made it close-up. They showed it close-up. And he was not nice to that young woman. I don't hold him for that because it wasn't overly, you know, horrible. But it was. But all that was, when you say doctor, you're a dishonest guy because it wasn't doctored. They gave a close-up view. That's not doctoring.
The president was then asked about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I wish her well. She said something very inappropriate during the campaign, but she apologized for it. I wouldn't say she's exactly on my side, but I wish her well. I hope she gets better, and I hope she serves on the Supreme Court for many, many years.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1989 when East Germany opens the Berlin Wall, which allows travel from East to West Berlin. Do check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Well, Halloween week is something that I thought I was going to survive mentally intact, and then I learned that there are real-life zombies. Yes, it's true. Scientifically true. Fortunately, they're not human zombies, as far as I know. But Matt Simon has written a wonderful book called Plight of the Living Dead. There are actual zombies in the animal kingdom, and he is here to talk with us about them. Matt Simon, he has written Plight of the Living Dead, What Real-Life Zombies Reveal About Our World and Ourselves. Welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you for having me.
So what are these zombies? What do they do? And I'm assuming they don't wander around saying brains, brains, brains.
Alas, they do not. But, you know, we are used to the pop culture zombie of, as you mentioned, brains, 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 the general bitiness, the aggression. Mm-hmm. That's what we know. But it turns out that out in the animal kingdom, there are zombies that are far more nuanced, and I would argue are far more interesting than what Hollywood could ever really dream up. These are organisms from fungi to worms to wasps that have figured out over evolutionary time how to, and I don't say this lightly, mind control their hosts in really precise and interesting ways.
Now, why is this a successful evolutionary adaptation? What is it about controlling someone's or an individual animal's or organism's mind? You know, do entities just walk them into the web so that they can eat them? Do they gather other members? I mean, how does this work to the advantage of the individual who's controlling these zombie animals?
That's what got so interesting for me researching this book and stumbling across example after example of example. Hmm. So beyond it being across the tree of life, fungi, worms, wasps, they are doing that for subtly different purposes. Hmm. So a lot of them will turn their host into a sort of vehicle in order to get themselves to a particular spot. So in worms, for instance, they will infect one kind of organism but need to get into a second kind and will direct that one organism into the belly of the second one with these subtle manipulations. A lot of times it's actually about turning the host into a bodyguard of all things for your young. So a lot of wasps do this where they inject the poor host with the young. The young erupt from the host and then are mind-controlling the host to, you know, against its better judgment, to protect the parasites that have just erupted from its body. It doesn't make any sense. Mm. But because these parasites are working on pure biology of these chemicals that they're releasing, they're able to subtly and precisely control the behavior of their host to different means depending on the species.
We're speaking with Matt Simon. He is author of Plight of the Living Dead. How do these animals go about this specifically? Tell us, for example, about the jewel wasp and how it controls the animals that are entities that it controls.
This is a great one if you don't like cockroaches, which I think would be most of us.
You're here.
Know that the cockroaches are suffering pretty badly at the hands of this particular jewel wasp, which is, in fact, about half the size of the cockroach. But what happens is, the mother jewel wasp will find a roach and grab a hold of it and sting it through the neck and into the brain. And when her stinger is in the brain, she's feeling around for two specific spots that govern locomotion. And she's doing it because she has these nice sensors on that stinger to find these spots. And here's where she injects what is essentially a mind control potion. So when she pulls her stinger out and backs away, the cockroach just stands there like an idiot, not like as if it just hadn't been stung in the brain by a wasp. It should be running away or doing something defensive, but it doesn't. It sits there and grooms itself. And while it is doing so, the wasp goes off, finds a burrow, and comes back and doesn't so much drag the roach, because again, it's twice its size, but leads it into the burrow. And the wasp, or the cockroach willingly follows. And what's happening is the venom is doing something to erase the cockroach's, not its ability to move, but its ability to want to move a certain way. So it can follow the wasp into its doom, essentially, into this burrow, when at any time it could just get her away. So what can actually happen is the scientists that are studying this will pick up one of these cockroaches that have been stung, throw it in water, and it will snap out of it and run off. It has the ability to do so, but when it gets in the burrow, the wasp lays an egg that hatches into a larva that consumes the cockroach alive. Again, cockroaches, nice to you. And then erupts, the young wasp develops inside the husk of the body of the cockroach and it erupts out of the burrow as an adult. So, again, extremely precise manipulations we're talking about here that have evolved over many, many millennia.
Yeah, forget Night of the Living Dead. We're talking Alien at this point, and beyond that. We're speaking with Matt Simon. He is the author of Plight of the Living Dead. Here's one thing that has occurred to me. And I hate to put ideas out there that maybe shouldn't be in people's heads. But has anyone ever put forward the idea of how this might be used on, you know, more advanced life forms? I'm worried that there's some evil scientist out there who's looking at what the jewel wasp is doing and saying, how can we use this on humans so that I can control an army of the living dead?
I mean, if anybody, it's the CIA, right? They're probably interested in this.
I guess
thing.
That's what I'm worried about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, they haven't been successful here. But, you know, writing about this and thinking about humans, so when you think about rabies, the rabies
right.
virus in
exactly.
particular is right. a manipulative virus that can actually change our behavior. So we, as humans, like to think of ourselves as this special species with consciousness and free will, and we're better than everything else. But our brains are still pure biology, and when this virus gets in our brains, it can actually modify our behavior to be aggressive, and it puts us in this kind of stupor. It isn't working on some idea of a soul in our heads. It is pure biology. It's chemicals, and it's brain structure, and it's what these manipulative parasites have been doing for millions of years out in nature to turn these animals into their vehicles or their bodyguards. It's pure biology. That's what was so fascinating working through this and seeing how scientists are stumbling across the answers, how the jewel wasp is using dopamine to modify the behavior of the cockroach in particular. But, you know, looking at humans, we're not special. We still have these brains that are working on the principles of the physical universe, and that also makes us vulnerable.
Do you think that there's any positive therapeutic application that this could have for human beings or for larger animals?
I mean, geez, I would hope it would be more therapeutic than getting stung in the brain and having venom injected into specific spots. But, you know, the other interesting bit is how scientists are figuring out more about not only the brains of the animals that are being assaulted here, essentially, but, finding more out about the human brain, how it operates, and how we already modify the human brain in certain ways to treat depression, mental illness, things like that.
Right.
It's not about, of course, stinging you in the brain. But again, it comes down to these very specific biological processes. It's not, again, this idea of a soul that, you know, you can go to therapy with mental illness, depression, anxiety, that sort of thing. That works for sure. But, you know, at the base of all of it, it is these chemicals that you can then modify with treatments. And I hope that it would go in that direction as opposed to the more CIA
So the twist ending to this particular scientific movie is we've been making our own zombies all along, just in more subtle ways than we have first suspected.
Yeah. I mean, toxoplasma, you've probably heard of it, is a microbe that gets into human brains. It wasn't meant to evolve to exploit us, but it is a parasite that has been shown to affect schizophrenia rates and suicide rates in women and risk-taking in men. Again, this isn't a parasite that evolved to exploit us, but because we have a mammalian brain that is similar to what it usually infects, you get these very subtle behavioral manipulations that isn't intentional on the parasite's part, of course. But again, it comes down to pure biology. It's forming cysts in the brain, and that's what's going on with the behavior. It's at its core, it's simple. It's, of course, extremely complicated neurobiology, but it's much more simple than thinking about the head as something full of a soul, I think.
It really is fascinating and, in some cases, horrific stuff. We've been speaking with Matt Simon. He is the author of Plight of the Living Dead, What Real-Life Zombies Reveal About Our World and Ourselves. Thank you so much for illuminating this topic, and thank you for being with us on Now It's the News.
And thank you for having me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. A very different era in the United States when the United States, was not legally allowed to sell and distribute alcohol. Speakeasies were the norm, underground places in which people surreptitiously drank. And the stories that we hear about this era are filled with gangsters, filled with politicians to some degree, filled with crusaders. And most of them, as they come down to us, are male. But that was not universally the case. Many women were involved in this fight. Many women were centrally involved in this fight, as a matter of fact. And to discuss this today, we speak with John Shuttler. He is the author with Hugh Ambrose of Liberated Spirits, Two Women Who Battled Over Prohibition. John, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Sure. So who were Pauline Sabin and Mabel Willebrand, and why was drinking so important to them?
Well, in the case of Pauline Sabin, she was a wealthy New York socialite who wanted to become actively involved in politics within the party structure, where decisions about politics and the direction of the country would go. And drinking was important to her from the standpoint of she really thought that alcohol and the attendant saloons that, you know, were the drinking establishments before Prohibition, were a demoralizing and corrupting influence on families and on society generally. And for Mabel Willebrand, she was a California attorney who became the Assistant Attorney General of the United States in charge of enforcing Prohibition. And it was important to her, one, because it was her job, but also she had seen in her private practice the damaging effects of alcohol and on families in terms of paychecks being spent at the saloons and abusive husbands or husbands who were estranged or in jail because of their use of alcohol. So it was a very personal level issue for her.
So they both began on the side of a prohibition. They were both in favor of prohibition and both pushed for that to take place and ultimately were successful.
Correct, yeah. In the beginning, they both were. Mabel stays true to that to the very end, believing that prohibition is significant and important and can be enforced with the right legislation and people and manpower and money, whereas Pauline Sabin changes her mind on it after seeing the abuses, whether it's gangsterism or corrupt officials or just simply the inability to enforce a law that was generally unpopular, and so she ends up changing her mind.
So remind us a little bit about the context. Drinking seems to have diminished somewhat in its importance in American society in the 21st century. What role did it play in the early 20th?
It was important primarily in the sense, obviously, for its impact upon families and especially in the lower income, lower brackets of society, if you will, lower society, but also in the influence it held in politics, and that extended to saloons serving as polling and voting places where votes could easily be manipulated by the power of the bar, if you will, and the power of alcohol. And so it was very important, and it was also an important escape, especially for lower classes who worked, you know, 60, 70 hours a week, 6 days a week. And sort of this was afforded to them, and it was greatly abused. And the levels of drinking were far higher than things we see today.
So, you know, the Democrats of this era are concerned about the influence of Putin. The Democrats of that era might have been concerned about the influence of whiskey in terms of our elections. And we can see why that might have been the case. We're speaking with John Shuttler. He is the author with Hugh Ambrose of Liberated Spirits, Two Women Who Battled Over Prohibition. What changed Pauline Sabin's mind? Was there any particular turning point for her in how she decided that prohibition was not such a good thing to have in place?
Yeah, what she saw, you know, on a personal level and then just in her extensive travels working within the Republican National Committee was just a general disregard in the population for this law. And primarily, you know, the idea that otherwise law-abiding citizens commonly and frequently broke the law as it pertained to prohibition and the 18th Amendment. And she found that quite hypocritical, and it led to her belief that really trying to restrict personal choices and behaviors wasn't the best way to achieve this goal, that things like temperance and just, you know, moderation were a better approach than just simply restricting and outlawing alcohol.
The amendments to the Constitution that prohibited the sale and distribution of alcohol and that allowed women to vote came about at about the same time. Tell us how the fights for both of those tied into one another.
Well, for many years before they became law, the two movements had been moved together. The prohibition movement for many, many years was largely driven by women, such as the Women's Christian Temperance Union and similar organizations that just believed that alcohol and more, I guess, rightness, the saloon itself, was a corrupting influence on families, and therefore sort of motherhood and family and children became a cornerstone of the campaign to bring prohibition. Well, many of those same women also wanted the vote because they saw that having the vote would give them a political power that simply marching in the streets might not have. And so they sort of marched in tandem, these two social movements, prohibition and suffrage, up to the point that they both became law.
We're speaking with John Shuttler, who is the author with Hugh Ambrose of Liberated Spirits, Two Women Who Battled Over Prohibition. The amendment to the Constitution that restricted the sale and distribution of alcohol, prohibition, was eventually repealed in the early 1930s. What did these women, Pauline Sabin and Mabel Willebrand, go on to do after the fight had been won by those trying to repeal?
Mabel Willebrand has sort of had her fill of politics and the political world by the end of the Prohibition era, and she, by that point, has entered into a very successful private practice, working in the burgeoning aviation industry, setting standards that would be used by the soon-to-be-formed FAA and similar organizations to establish that kind of law and system. And then, more importantly, in terms of just her general work, she became a very prominent entertainment lawyer, just sort of by happenstance and through friends of friends. She became an attorney for many actors and actresses involved with the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studios. Pauline Sabin takes a little bit more stab into politics in the 1930s. She joins a group called the American Liberty League, which in the mid-30s was opposed to sort of the rampant socialization of politics as they saw Franklin D. Roosevelt putting into law across the country. And unfortunately, their efforts failed. It was a kind of a bipartisan group of Democrats and Republicans in the Liberty League. But Roosevelt's popularity won out, and so she sort of fades from politics, becomes very active in the American Red Cross, and heads it up during World War II. But she sort of as well sort of fades out of politics a bit, I think, soured by some of the experiences later on.
Yeah, well, it seems to have been a particularly bitter fight politically, and one that obviously extended into the world of out-and-out crime as well. At some point, there's a dividing line between those two worlds, I suppose. We've been speaking with John Shuttler. He is the author with Hugh Ambrose of Liberated Spirits, Two Women Who Battled Over Prohibition. John Shuttler, thank you so much for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Thank you.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
USA Radio News.
Election officials, campaign operatives, and lawyers across Florida are gearing up for a massive recount in the Senate race and gubernatorial race. Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida on Fox News to discuss what's going on.
So this is a pattern of, at a minimum,
and competence, and it's embarrassing to the state. Voters deserve better. This is not even a partisan thing. This is a county that apparently cannot count votes as well as a county that just got wiped out by a hurricane.
Republican Senator Jeff Flake and Democrat Senator Chris Coons plan to ask for a floor vote on legislation that would shield Special Counsel Robert Mueller from a firing when the Senate returns next week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that won't be necessary.
As you can imagine, we speak frequently. It's never been any indication that he wants to dismiss Mueller or the investigation. It's going to be allowed to finish.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allyn Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're in the midst of a pitched political battle for the soul of the United States. I'm not sure if there's any other way to put it. Some folks, however, would like to pretend it's not such. Fortunately, one of them is not our next guest, Greg Sargent. He writes the Plumline column for the Washington Post, and his book is An Uncivil War, Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpian Disinformation and Thunderdrome Politics. Greg Sargent, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So do you get the impression sometimes that when you hear calls for civility in politics, that the Democrats shouldn't quite be so mean, that it's sort of along the lines of those soldiers in World War One who were, gallantly with their bayonets heading over a mile's worth of no man's land into artillery and Gatling gun fire?
Yeah, that's a perfect image for it. I'll tell you what frustrates me the most about the calls for quote-unquote civility. Mm-hmm. The entire representation of the situation is often just a complete distortion. The way it's often presented is, will Democrats go low and match Trump's insults? Right? As if Trump is simply just insulting people. He's saying, your tie is really looks silly. Or he's just saying, look at your toupee, it's off. Right?
Yeah.
In reality, the calls for civility are come in response to Democrats who are saying we need to deal forthrightly with what we are up against here in this Republican Party led by Trump.
Yeah.
And it isn't a matter of responding to insults. It's a matter of responding to a type of scorched earth politics that's fundamentally anti-democratic and destructive at its core, and to an authoritarian madman president who's stoking civil conflict on as many fronts as he possibly can. And so the question isn't whether to be civil or not. It's how to deal with this reality. It's something we should all be trying to figure out.
I think that we in the media are somewhat to blame for this because we have created a situation increasingly over the last several decades where we have lowered the expectations and created this permission for politicians to get away with more than they should. I remember for years thinking about whenever someone spoke of a politician who was in the midst of a scandal, who had done something wrong, who had said something wrong as having committed a gaffe. Well, in the kind of situation I'm talking about, it's not a gaffe. They did something wrong. It's not a PR problem, and yet it's framed as a PR problem. And I think we're seeing the harvest of that now with the Khashoggi situation, where internationally it essentially is being framed as a PR problem. And people realize instinctively when there are bone saws involved, for God's sake, that this is something horrific that's happened. This is not something that we need to just make go away with public relations hacked. And I think we've enabled people like Donald Trump to get away with that sort of thing. What complicity do you think that we have?
Well, I absolutely agree with you that the frame, the type of coverage that treats this or that as a gaffe really ends up draining the blood. I apologize for using that imagery in this context, but it ends up draining the energy out of and the reality out of the real situation. We're talking here about a horrific crime and a president who, according to the reporting, has calculated that he can hew to the Saudi line without paying a price among voters. And when it's covered as that, when it's covered as, oh, the president is pulling, he's doing a good trick here, he's doing good politics,
right?
Then the moral dimensions of the situation vanish completely. And we see this in front after front. For instance, in the case of the caravans, these are desperate refugees in many cases, right? These are people who are seeking asylum. And the president is attacking them as criminals and terrorists. And people are saying it's good politics. He's revving up his base. Well, why are we saying that?
Yeah.
I mean, what does it say about the Republican base that this revs them up? I mean, that's what this type of political coverage that essentially treats everything as a win or a loss really ends up, I think, depriving people of a serious and informative picture of what's happening.
No, I agree. And we're speaking with Greg Sargent. He is the author of An Uncivil War. I think we need to take a step back, especially as people in the media, and look at the moral dimension of the things which we are covering. And, you know, sometimes that might favor the right, and sometimes that might favor the left, although I think predominantly time in history, it favors a shift back in the left if you look at what is going on. As you say, you can't just cover it as a horse race. You can't just cover it as a contest. You have to have a heart and soul and engage on a human level. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that perspective engaged, then you're not really doing a service to your readers, your listeners, your viewers, and you won't understand the conflict that's going on. And we really are engaged in a pitch battle where there is good and there is bad. And I know it's difficult for many journalists to get their head in that because they have been trained to step back and deal with it in a cold, calculated way. And that works in a certain environment. This is not that environment. How do we transform ourselves so that we can see this with the right pair of lenses?
Well, it's certainly a very, very tough challenge, and I think social media sort of provides an outlet for this. Of course, it's exploited by the problem is it's also exploited by bad faith actors. But so we need to keep, I think, concerned readers who understand this problem need to keep prodding prominent journalists, I think, and news organizations to take the fundamental imbalance of the situation seriously. And it should be, the way I usually frame this myself is, it's a matter of informing people. If you're in the business of informing people, you've got to inform them about this imbalance. And if these disputes are going to be treated as ones in which each side is using similarly questionable tactics and each side is equivalently dishonest, it really fundamentally misleads people about the true nature of Trumpism and the movement that's behind him and the real meaning of the Republican Party's ongoing enabling and encouragement of him.
We have to take a quick break, but we will be back in a moment to continue our conversation. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Mad props to the hood, yo. What a bunch of crap.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo.
contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Greg Sargent. He's the author of An Uncivil War, the author of the Plumb Line from the Washington Post. I don't want to skip over the prime actors in this. It's not just the media. It's primarily the people in power who are elected, who are engaged in this battle. But it seems a lot of the time that a significant portion of one side doesn't really understand the battle that they are in, or looks at it as kind of a matter of optics. Again, do you think?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Do you think that the leadership of the Democratic Party really understands where they are? Because okay, there was some great work done when it comes to Kavanaugh, but then a week or two after that, you have 15 judges. What is going on here, and how does that change? What mindset does the Democratic Party get what they're dealing with, even now, in 2 years after Trump was elected?
It's a really, really good question. I guess my sense is that there is a fairly widespread understanding among Democrats of the nature of the threat, and I think that a lot of them think that they're on the cusp of winning this election, mm-hmm. and let's be clear, right? Winning this election would actually be a very big deal at this juncture. If we can, if we can see a situation in which Democrats get back the House and win back a bunch of governorships, things could really get better. We could get serious oversight on this president, which has been sorely lacking, his corruption and his governing fiascos, the cruelty of his immigration agenda and so forth, could actually be subject to real scrutiny. Democratic governors could take big steps towards instituting democratic reforms that could make voting easier in states and could unwind gerrymandered maps, mm-hmm. and so forth. And so I think I can understand and sympathize with Democratic leaders who think they're about to win. Now, mm-hmm. I hope they're right about that. Now, more broadly, I think we're going to see the debate that you've just articulated there play out in a fairly severe way in coming years, and I think one place that'll start is if Democrats do take back the House, you're going to sort of see calls for some very aggressive tactics, and I think it's going to be a little tough to sort of navigate that. We'll have to figure it out as it happens, but Democrats could blow it if they have oversight responsibility, if they sort of devolve into grandstanding and frivolous behavior and so forth. But I think you're putting your finger on what the big debate's going to be going forward, and especially when if at some point, if Democrats take back the everything in 2020 or 24, who knows if that'll happen, but if it does, then you'll really see this debate unfold. There's going to be serious pressure from the left for Democrats to go go into full-blown procedural warfare. And I try to, in this book, I try to talk about what I think is maybe a bit more of a judicious approach to that sort of eventuality. But you're right on target with what this debate is going to be.
And I would like to get your thoughts as to what you think the approach should be, if indeed, and it still seems likely at this point that Democrats will win back the House, although I'm not sure it's by as much as is being touted. I almost think, I don't think it's possible to be too cynical in this day and age that the blue wave has been touted not even so much by the left as by the right, because they realize that creating an expectation of a massive blue wave, if something falls short of that, then it can be considered as a victory. There was one point at which it was thought that the Senate would be within reach. That seems less likely now, although anything is possible, and that you can have in your hand the goodwill and endorsement of the majority of the people of the United States. But if the other side has the rules in their control, that may not matter.
Well, especially, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think that if you look at the focus, especially if you go back to the last census and the very intelligent focus by the Republican Party on state houses and districts and how that shaped a decade's worth of politics. And the Democrats who are not there, I'm not sure they're still there, but at least there is some more focus on some state races, that they realized the way that demographics were shifting. That's something that you mentioned in your book. And they were able to deal with that. What do you think the Democrats should do once they get in power, not only on the federal level, but if they're able to win a couple of state houses, what are the important steps to take in order to make sure that we don't get into this position again, or how to extricate ourselves from the current one?
Well, I think you're really right to identify the states as the key battleground for a lot of this stuff going forward. In the book, what I argue is that Democrats have to keep focused on winning back as much ground as possible on the state level, and that if they can, they can actually make a real difference over time. So putting in automatic voter registration to make voting easier, bring more people into the process, make the electorate more representative. Like I said, governors, if Democratic governors can veto the partisan jerry-rigged maps for on the congressional level, that, remember, we're heading into another decade of redistricting, and the governors that are elected this fall will be in power when those new maps for the next decade are drawn. We're talking about 2021. This is 2018. They're in power for 4 years in many cases. Mm-hmm. And so that means that if a lot of Democrats get in on the state level and take over governor's mansions, in these big states they can block the bad maps drawn by Republican legislatures and force fairer ones. Yeah. So if you're in a state with a contested governor's race, vote. Vote now, because voting now could actually have a real impact on what the House of Representatives makeup looks like for a whole decade.
Yeah.
These are things that can really matter over time, and I worry that people aren't focused enough on them.
You're right. Obviously, we see the situation in Georgia, and we're speaking with Greg Sargent. He's the author of An Uncivil War, Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpian Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics. Stacey Abrams versus the current Secretary of State, Kemp, who is in charge
just
of the
amazing
voting situation,
yeah,
who threw out 100,000 votes, most of which were African-American and Democratic votes. And again, it worries me, and you're absolutely right about voter registration. But when you have the levers of power, the critical levels of the levers of power in your hand, and you're able to push them to that extent, it is just so disheartening. Hopefully that can be overcome with enough public input. But you're right, we do need to focus on
the
states.
That's the key. Vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vote.
Yeah,
vote,
register.
Please vote this time.
And we, I think also a focus on the rules is also necessary. I know that the process for being a person who is allowed to register to someone to vote in the state of Texas is very difficult. There's a very high bar. We have to look at those individual situations. And perhaps on a federal level,
absolutely
look at the Voting Rights Act and how to put that in place once power comes back on a federal level. Is there a comprehensive plan for that in place? Are you talking to people?
Yes, I think there are, actually.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I think that there are a number of Democrats and certainly a lot of activist groups and academics and so forth who are thinking about what Democrats can do to represent what you might call a pro-democracy agenda. And a lot of this stuff would be part of it. And so you're absolutely right. There has to be a dual focus on what can be done on the individual state level, and that means things like, by the way, we didn't even get into Secretary of State races, right?
Right.
Those are
right.
Also crucial.
Mm-hmm.
But winning that ground on the level of the state legislatures, too, and then on the federal level, a fix to the Voting Rights Act, potentially a national version of automatic voter registration could be a good idea. That type of thing can, I think, really make a difference over time, and potentially federal standards for various voting rules like early voting and things like that, although that's a little bit more controversial, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that we have to be thinking about everything on both levels.
Yes, we have to. We have to flood the zone, in a sense, the way that conservatives have done on the other side. They wouldn't be here if they hadn't taken those all-encompassing tactics. Well, we're a couple of weeks away. We are looking with bated breath forward to the midterm elections. I hope that you are right, and I pray that you are correct with regard to voter engagement, getting out there and vote, and that really is what needs to happen. So I echo your sentiments. If you're hearing this, vote, regardless of your party, engage. That's the number one thing I think that can make this country better and our politics better. We have been speaking with Greg Sargent. He is the author of An Uncivil War, Taking Back Our Democracy in an Age of Trumpian Disinformation and Thunderdome Politics. Thank you, Greg, for your time. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for the journalism that you do on a daily basis. And thank you for being on Now It's the News.
Well, thanks for having me on, sir. Good conversation.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Mike Hewitt here. The election nears. Let's set partisanship aside for a moment. It seems fitting to offer a quote from a founding member of the Democratic Republican Party. Yes, the Democratic Republican Party. The spirit of 1776 is not dead. It has been slumbering. The body of the American people is substantially Republican, but their virtuous feelings have been played on by some fact with more fiction. They've been the dupes of artful maneuvers and made for a moment to be willing instruments in forging chains for themselves. But times and truth dissipated the delusion and opened their eyes. Thomas Jefferson. Please be wise when you cast your vote. Generations depend on your understanding of the promise of a small r Republican form of self-governance. Is it truly important? Yes, even more so. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, before heading off to France with the First Lady, President Trump signed a proclamation blocking certain immigrants from claiming asylum. The move is expected to face a wave of legal challenges. The president spoke to reporters about the plan.
People can come in, but they have to come in through the ports of entry, and that to me is a very important thing.
Three wildfires in California continue to destroy homes and structures and force thousands of residents to evacuate. Two fires are in Southern California, and a voluntary evacuation order was issued for a part of Malibu. Meanwhile, in Northern California, the town of Paradise, which is near Chico, is also under evacuation orders. Now, the governor did declare a state of emergency. And in Georgia, Republican Brian Kemp declared victory, while Stacey Abrams, the Democrat in the race, has refused to concede, insisting that outstanding votes could still trigger a runoff. And votes in Arizona are still being counted there in the Senate race and race for Attorney General. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Get ready for colder weather and take an extra 15% off. Give outerwear and boots for the family. Give Harry Potter sweatshirts and hoodies. And with an extra 15% off, a 6-quart Instant Pot is just $93.49. Plus, only at Kohl's, you get Kohl's cash to spend later. The more you give, the more Kohl's cash you get. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15% offer valid November 7th through 15th with promo code KICKOFF15. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Reports of a school shooting in North Carolina turned out to be a false alarm, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
A Pender County official says the reports of an active shooter at Topsail High School on Friday morning were unfounded, and that the noises people reported as hearing that they believed to be gunshots were really the sounds of a malfunctioning water heater at the school. The earlier report of shots fired provoked a massive response by law enforcement, also causing the school district to reroute buses and put schools on lockdown, but a couple of hours later, they did confirm that even though deputies swept the school to make sure there wasn't a shooter, it was an HVAC unit on the roof that had been malfunctioning and making noises that sounded like gunfire. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker faces calls for more than a dozen state AGs that he recuse himself from the Justice Department's Russia investigation. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a
Well, good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock, or at least, yes, almost 4 o'clock. I'm Pat Smith, and instead of our usual program, It's the Law, I have a special guest today, and we're going to focus on the Veterans Day, of course, as everyone knows, is on Sunday.